This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to Best Pets for Pets. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. You know, we've come a long way as far as, you know, what we use on our pets. And one of the biggest things, of course, with our dogs is making sure they're secure. And one of the new things out is AI. We're recording this end of 2025. It'll be aired 2026, and everybody's interested in AI, which is not brand new, but still kind of new. What about combining AI and using it for your dog? Well, my guest today has a product that does that, and we'll be right back to talk about it.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome David Teaster. He is the product marketing director at Satellite. It is a new product. It's the world's first pet-centric AI and e-collar. Welcome, David.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thrilled to have you on this show. What does AI and E stand for? We know AI, but what is the E part?
Yeah, so that's a wonderful question. So obviously AI, as you said, we all know it, artificial intelligence. The E is more about electronic, and it's just to say that this is a hardware product that also works with AI. So the AI is kind of more software related, whereas the hardware, the e-collar, is an electronic device that helps track your dog's different metrics so that the AI has more data to work off of.
Okay. And what does the pet-centric AI mean, and how is this different from traditional pet tech?
So the reason we say pet-centric, well, I should think about which of those two questions to start with. Maybe we can start with how it's different from traditional pet tech. I would say with traditional pet tech, you're looking more at things that do more simple kind of functions. And while that's been expanding in recent years, similar products like ours, I think adding more AI functions into it takes it to the next level. So what differentiates it more is with traditional pet tech, you had devices that just kind of help you interact with your pet. Whereas with Satellite, we're looking to combine everything into one spot where you have hardware and software working together, because really we want to make sure that every pet is connected, protected, cared for, and safe. And so that's something that we're building towards with all the different products that we're releasing. And as you said, we've got a new product already. Our first product launched back in April of this year, the Satellite Collar, which provides a lot of different functions for people, including virtual fencing, also known as geofencing or GPS fencing, which is training-based boundaries that you set up via the app, and then it gives feedback to your dog through the collar through a vibration, a whistle, or something to help keep your dog in those safe limits. But at the same time, we have sensors inside that track when your dog's moving and when your dog's resting to start giving you those insights into your dog's behavior and activity patterns. Similar to the way that smart wearables work for people, we can actually log these different changes over time, and then you get this pattern based. What we're looking to do in 2026, especially because we're looking to expand out our AI functions, is that it will actually, one, have more specific algorithmic breakdowns to what type of activity your pet is undergoing. So right now our products are specific to dogs. So it should be able to break down how much your dog is walking versus running versus jumping versus resting versus you know, licking or even shaking its head. And so that's one aspect of what we're looking at with the AI. On top of that, we hope to be able to give reports that reference all this different data to help give you kind of a brief overview into what's going on with your dog. And then on top of that too, we actually have an LLM inside our application that you can ask it questions and it will be able to refer to this data that it's collected, as well as the information that you've given it when you registered in the app, and start giving you better insights into your pet's overall well-being.
It's amazing what technology can do. That sounds amazing. So, couple of comments. So, it sounds like, in a sense, the collar is what is, I don't know, I think it's Quorum, the ring that people wear. I don't wear one, but there's a ring that senses your, you know, people's sleep and health and all of that. It sounds like the data is similar to that, but for your dog. Is that a good compare?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to kind of compare it, because actually Our founders, their background was in smart wearables for people. They were working for Amazfit, which is one of the big smart wearable companies. And they wanted to bring these same kind of information and insights to the pet space, because I can track my own health and see these patterns and see what's going on. And I know what it means, like this changes. But with your dog, there's an extra step, because your dog can't give you the context of what was going on or communicate what it encountered through what your dog encountered throughout the day. So I think the AI gives us this extra bit of context and this pattern recognition that really helps us know what's going on with our dogs and helps us see immediately when they're not feeling their best.
Okay, so let's break it down for people that don't understand tech or a little late getting onto AI. So the electronic part would be any vibrations or sounds to kind of alert your dog, right?
In the past, yeah, that has been. I'd say in our case, it's more just related to the fact that it has the sensors and it can kind of record all this data. We have different products coming out. In Europe, we already launched the satellite collar Go, which is a smaller version that doesn't have quite all the virtual fencing functions, but it's much smaller and it can fit dogs of more sizes, but it does still have the sensors inside of it to help you see what's going on with your dog, what kind of activity they have. A lot of times what's going on is these are also GPS tracking devices. So you can actually keep track of where your dog is. So I'd say if we wanted to put it kind of simply, what's going on here is with the collar Go, you know where your dog is, what your dog is doing, and ostensibly with AI, how your dog is feeling.
Do you think... this is a little different, but listening to this information, do you think at some point when dogs are chipped, they will, you know, have AI in the chips so that if your dog is lost, you could actually look at the chip information and find where they are?
I think that's something that would be definitely ideal for a lot of people. Right now, I think the limitation is kind of how you power a device like that once it's subdermal, because it's so small. But, you know, there's all different ways that you might be able to make that happen. And it would be people much smarter than me figuring out how to make that work. But I think right now we're mostly looking at tracking collars, because these are worn externally and then they can be recharged. Whereas something subdermal, I think, would have the challenge of keeping it powered so that it can transmit a signal at all times. And then how do you recharge it if the battery runs out?
Right. Exactly. Okay. So let's talk about how the e-collar and AI work together. So the data that's collected are, you know, posture, movement, vocalization, breathing, sleep, activity levels. How does the AI turn this data into useful insights for, dog pet parents?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And I would say where machine learning in general, but especially with the advent of LLMs, where this type of technology really excels in my mind is really just like iterating through repetitive information, detecting patterns, and then highlighting changes in those patterns. So with LLMs, that becomes like very conversational thing, and then you can ask it questions that can actually respond. Whereas with the data iteration, it can actually process things very, very quickly and be able to figure out when something's different. Well, I say figure it out, but identify would be a better way to phrase that. It's able to identify when there's a sudden change. Now, we can already do that with ourselves, with our own smart wearables. And if you use a traditional activity tracker, you can do that yourself too and swipe through the screens and just see, okay, here's how much activity they had last week. Here's the bar graph for how much activity they had this week. Here's the bar graph for this week. Oh, why did it suddenly dip? But where I think AI is very helpful is it can kind of start granulating that data and actually identifying these things even better and actually giving you a comprehensive report so you don't have to swipe through that data all by yourself and try to figure out what the patterns are. It can actually highlight where the changes have happened. And part of what we're looking to do with our future version of the PetSense AI, which we're getting ready to update, is that it will actually give a report and a health score that lets you know and just kind of gives you a week by week update of what's going on with your pet and what's changed compared to last week. And then when you see that, you know that maybe there's something going on and you can get some advice on, you know, what could be some causes. And if you think it's serious enough or even potentially serious enough, then that's when you start looping in your veterinarian.
Okay, so I can see mostly positive, little bit of uh-ohs that might happen if the, you know how they say Dr. Google, right? So
absolutely.
And I have talked to a lot of veterinarians and most of them love this information. I mean, you could look at the data. I mean, the data is just a sign. It just gives you information. And it's a way, like you said, to see patterns and so forth. I mean, there could be a dip, which could be something, or there could be nothing. And people might think, well, I don't need to do my annual vet appointment because everything's going as is. So where do you see the challenges for people understanding the information well enough to realize it's not a substitute for, you know, seeing your vet?
Yeah, I think that is always a concern. And you're absolutely, in my mind, 100% correct to highlight that. Because to my mind, where it's helpful is for getting that early care. When you identify these problems early, then you're not doing that vet visit in the middle of the night that costs you $1,000 to $2,000 to do a surgery because your dog's been feeling bad for 4 days, but you didn't realize that they had swallowed something while you weren't watching them. You know, like as a random example.
No, that's happened. It's happened to me. And dogs get into stuff that's messy where they shouldn't. And it's easy for them to follow something and not realizing. I had one friend who had a store and she didn't realize her dog had swallowed some ribbon until she saw it coming out of his tail.
Yeah, if you're lucky, it's a mundane thing. And you're just like, oh, when did they get into the string? I'm just seeing that in there. When they went to the bathroom and, you know, it passes through, but, you know, those things could get impacted. And while the activity data that we have now wouldn't necessarily tell you your dog swallowed something, go get help, it would identify that the behavior patterns shifted and your dog maybe isn't feeling very well because your dog's not doing the things they normally do at this time of day. Like, I see it more as an early warning system. And then with the AI, we're looking to actually have it also give alerts when there's sudden changes in behavior, especially sudden extreme changes in behavior, to help you get that taken care of early before it becomes a more significant problem.
Okay, so what would a real world example look like in your system? So say, you know, I didn't notice and my dog cracked his tooth or something. This is another thing that happened to me, cracked his tooth. Would there be any notification? Would I notice that on the AI device? Or is there, maybe you have a better example?
That's a really great example, actually, because I think it comes back to what does your dog do when they've cracked their tooth? Well, a lot of times your dog's not going to be eating the way they normally do. And while our current product line may not necessarily identify that, what it would notice is like the change in activity levels or the change in energy, the fact that your dog is resting more than before, or your dog's making different sounds than normal, you know, possibly detecting barking or whimpering. I think we're also looking at like head shakes and licking as examples. So these changes in behavior, if it suddenly has a huge uptick, it would actually give you an alert to let you know, hey, something's different than before. Maybe you should look into this. And if you ask it in the app, you could ask it, what are some potential causes? And it would be able to like give some suggestions on things to look at. And you could possibly give just kind of a quick, exam yourself just to see, like, where does the problem seem to be originating? And from there, I think you've got a lot more options, and you'd be able to identify that, I think, I would hope, at a much earlier stage than if you're just waiting for, why isn't my dog getting up and running around like normal? He seems really sluggish today. But actually, he's been sluggish for several days. It just wasn't noticeable until day 4 or 5.
Understood. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to David Teaster. He is the product marketing director at Satellite AI, and we're talking about their new collar. So let's talk about first safety, because, you know, we always want to make sure our dogs are safe. Is the collar safe? I know there's some, you know, vibrations that the dog can feel and so forth, but is it absolutely safe? And also, is it for all dogs? All sizes?
So wonderful questions on both those heads. Anytime you've got an electronic device, you know, there's a battery, then there's always room for something unexpected. But everything we have is CE certified, so it meets standard safety measures in that regard. So there's no necessarily more concern about that than, you know, any other electronic device, to my mind. Also, when we're looking at it, you know, we've designed it with the materials to make sure that everything's kind of chew safe and non-toxic. So even if your dog, like, decides to somehow get at it and use the collar as a chew toy, it's pretty well insulated and it shouldn't cause any problems on that side. Even if they swallowed, say, a small piece of it, you know, obviously that's not ideal, but it shouldn't have any toxicity to it either. Though if that did happen, just for the record, make sure to get that checked out and don't let your dog get at it anymore because it's an electronic device. But on the other side too, it seemed like you're also asking specifically about the feedback functions.
Yes.
So we've got the whistle, we've got the vibration, and then optionally for dogs with like a really strong prey drive, we have what we call static correction. Though this is only for the original satellite collar. And I'll address first, the original satellite collar is for big dogs because it's rather hefty. It's got 2 satellite transmitters in there. It's got the vibration motor and all these different things. So it does have an optional static correction. But I hate to mislead people because some people would hear that and say it's a shock collar, but it's, to my mind, it's really not, because it's more of just kind of a physical stimulus. Like, I've physically tried this on myself, and the idea behind it is just to kind of create a strong sensation to get your dog's attention if they're chasing something. And really, it's completely optional because you don't have to install the contact points for that, just for the record. Like, you can leave those off and then it wouldn't be able to do anything regardless of what you set it to. It wouldn't be able to activate accidentally or anything like that, which it can't do anyway, but that would 100% remove even the smallest chance. So that's there, but it's more from the side of giving pet parents every tool we think they might need to keep their pet safe. And so I know, like, there's a lot of different types of trainers that look at positive reinforcement versus negative. And it's not really our goal to weigh in on that, but to give people the tool that they need to train their dog and keep their dog in safe limits.
Got it. So for your Houdini dogs that are, you know, constantly, you know, escaping your yard or what have you, even if you are living in rural areas, it's still a good tool. I mean, you think, and let me backtrack, I had a Houdini dog, but it was in the city. So in my mind, it's a lot better to, you know, okay, your dog's going to feel a little sensation rather than the very unfortunate alternative that your dog might be hit by a car.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I stand on it, too, is again, we're giving options. We're not dictating what you do or don't do. The satellite collar Go, it doesn't really even have the fencing function. So if that is something that bothers you, we do have a product that's more suitable where there's no feedback at all. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's what we call remote commands. So where the satellite collar Go is a bit different is you can set a virtual boundary and then it's not a fence in the sense that it doesn't keep your dog within it because the virtual fence is enforced by training. But with the virtual boundary, you set up that limit and then you get an alert to your cell phone if your dog goes past it. And then you can actually press a button in the app to play an audio command like a whistle or a good dog or a go home, which ostensibly your dog goes past that boundary. It would be go home. And then when they go back, you play the good dog.
Okay, so how would the pet parent get started with the satellite AI collar?
Yeah, so with the satellite collar, it depends which one you go for, the satellite collar or the satellite collar Go. But mostly it would be the same way. You'd buy the product, you'd receive it, you'd get it set up. It works via GPS, which is supported by 5 global navigation satellite systems, which includes the United States Global Positioning System, which is what we usually call GPS. So you get that, and you'll have to register with the account. You'll set up an account through the app, which you would download from either the Google Play Store or the App Store on Apple. We have QR codes on our website that you could also use to scan that to find the appropriate page for satellite. And then you would just go through the setup process. It would require a subscription because it needs to be able to transmit data over cellular signal to be able to send and receive at a distance. It can also connect via Bluetooth for syncing, but that's not really ideal for tracking scenarios. That would be more of just syncing up the health metrics. And so you get started with that. It would just be, you know, hardware, app setup, and then you'd enter the information about your dog. So what's your dog's name? You could share your dog's birthday. You could say what the breed is. The LLM is primarily trained off of our own breed database, which is basically to give it a baseline. But after that, because the collar is actually recording your dog's metrics specifically, it would be able to kind of learn that. And then actually, as part of the process too, you would take a picture of your dog and then the AI would try to identify your dog's breed, which you can correct if you think the AI is not quite right, but it would kind of automatically say, oh, your dog looks like it's this breed. Is that correct? And then you're pretty much good to go from there. You've got the location tracking. You can start setting up fences. You can start tracking activity and rest patterns and then even start asking questions from the AI.
Okay, thanks. What would you say? So the Go collar has a lot more features. What are you most proud of in the satellite AI collars?
Yeah, so with the satellite collars, just in general, I think with all of our products, I'm just excited for the ability that we're going to be able to give pet parents to keep their dogs safe and know what's going on with them. I mean, I had a lot of different dogs growing up, and there's so many different, I mean, they bring so much love to you and it's such a special relationship. But when you lose them for whatever reason, that's a very specific kind of heartbreak. When they run off and they don't come home, you know, when they get sick and you didn't even know anything was wrong. And then, you know, you have to take them to the vet and you walk out without them. That's
horrible.
That's heavy. And you miss them every single day. And so what I think one of the big benefits of the products that Satellite is doing is that it can help you just have that time with your pet and keep you together with your dog for as long as possible. You get those early warnings. You find them when they get lost. Like to me, these are the two biggest tragedies that I had with my dogs is they either got sick or they ran off. And if you're lucky, you get them back. And when you're not lucky, then you just grieve them and remember them.
Well spoken. And most of us pet parents have been there, and it's tragic, whether it's something sudden or it's something that's ongoing. It's just, it's horrible.
And it's not even because you did anything wrong.
Right, right.
It's just because your dog's being a dog, and part of being a dog is getting into things that you wouldn't expect.
Yep. And they don't live as long as we would like. So
absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about another thing that pet parents are concerned about. How does satellite AI ensure data accuracy, privacy, and responsible use of the pet information? Because there does have to be some information input. Probably, I don't know, you know, it's satellite, probably addresses and, you know, some things that are personal. And some people, some of the dog parents out there listening might say, I don't want to put all that personal information in. Where does it go? Is it secure?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think data security is a huge concern for a lot of people. So for Europe, everything we do like complies with the GDPR. For the US, we're also complying with data safety and storage laws there. And we're also working with AWS, Amazon Web Services. So everything's actually stored on their servers and processed through them. So it's protected by a company that I think, like, you know, people are already familiar with and that we already trust a lot of our data to already. It's not necessarily going to satellite directly in terms of like all the details. What we sometimes are able to collect via our privacy policies is just kind of anonymized data of just dogs in general of how much they're running, but it kind of breaks down by category. It's not specific to any individual from what I'm aware of.
Okay, thanks.
I will say this isn't my area of expertise, so there could be some details there. I'm not personally qualified to get into that too deeply.
Got it. But the data is secure for the most part.
Yes, I would be confident to say that the data is secure and that personal information is pretty safe.
Okay, we talked about the basic collar, then the Go collar. What are some other products that you have?
I mean, we're still a pretty new brand. So really, the satellite collar is our first entry into the market. And that's the really like cutting edge one that just like we packed every feature we could kind of think of into it. The collar goes designed to be a bit more accessible and then fit more types of dogs. One thing I do forget to mention, because I think it's a huge, it's not the hugest feature, but I think it's helpful, is like we actually put reflective lining and reflective stitching onto the products to make your dog more visible in low light environments. So it helps keep your dog safe in those regards too.
Okay. And, you know, I asked this earlier, but I asked it with another question. So I don't know if it was answered. Sorry about that. What size dog does the collar fit? Because you mentioned one is for like a larger dog. How small can you go?
That's a great question. So for the original satellite collar, I think right now the smallest we get is about 14 inches. If you use the hook and loop strap, the Velcro style strap, then it can go about 14 inches. But we actually have a Fidlock magnetic clasp on it that's a lot more convenient. For that one, it goes down to 17 inches. And that's for the original collar.
So 14 inches, I think that's what, like about 40 pounds?
Generally, I would say so. Though certain smaller breeds would maybe have a thick enough neck for it.
Okay.
For the satellite collar Go, well, one, the device can kind of clip onto almost any dog collar. But the one that we include, the band, I think that one goes to about 13 and a half inches.
Okay. And how large?
Yeah, I believe for the collar, it's 32 inches is the maximum.
Oh, quite big. Okay. Or a thick neck with your bulldog. So, but basically, so your collar fits most dog sizes. And for the little tiny dogs, they're like, you know, pocket dogs. They don't really run out. But would you, at some point, do you see satellite AI making a smaller collar for those little small but frisky dogs like your Jack Russell?
Yes, I do think we would be very interested in expanding into smaller dogs. Part of it is just because we have so many features packed into it that, you know, when you're putting so much tech into one device, that device kind of winds up being large. So that's why it's a bit more suited for big dogs. But yes, I mean, we really want to have an overarching coverage system for every kind of pet that people get, you know, big dogs, medium dogs, small dogs. And then in the future, we'd like to expand into cats as well to be able to keep them safe and protected.
Yeah, that would be good because they are devious creatures.
Well, they're also not always the most communicative when something's wrong.
My other show is Catitude, so we talk about that they're stoic creatures, and that's just an ongoing concern for cat pet parents because they hide their illness as well. I mean, I've experienced it with my cats where one was near death. They want one hospital wanted to put them down. I was like, no, and took them to another hospital the next day. And that was what, I think 14 years ago. So he's fine, but they don't tell you when there's a problem. So this for cats would be fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, for dogs, it's already quite difficult because, you know, sometimes they don't want to trouble the pack. So they'll kind of run and hide to suffer and isolation, but cats are even worse.
Yeah, they're hard. They're not little dogs, as we say, and they're definitely challenging. Our dog parents that are listening, or pet parents in general that are listening, could take away just one benefit from using satellite AI. What would you want that to be?
I would say that the overarching thing now and in the future is going to be just the insights that you can get into keeping your dog healthy and active.
Okay, thank you. David, where can people find more information on satellite AI and purchase the collar?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. So I would say the best place to go would be our website, satellite.com. That's SATELLAI.com. So satellite.com would be like the best place to go for more information. You can find what you want there. And then we've got our information as well. We've got the products for sale there as well. You can order and have it shipped that way. The app download codes are there. You can register the telecom plan, everything. So, you know, if you're looking for a one stop to find out about our product and get it, then satellite.com is the place to go.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on Best Bets for Pets and sharing all this fabulous information on satellite AI. And congrats for being the world's first pet-centric AI and e-collar.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. I've really enjoyed talking to you as well. And just I hope that we can really make a difference.
I think you will be. Thanks again. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. It's amazing where technology is going and how it can help our dogs. So please be sure to check out Satellite AI. I think it's a wonderful product and so innovative. I want to thank David for coming on Best Bets for Pets. Thanks to everyone listening and being part of Best Bets for Pets for 15 years. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, for keeping me on my toes. And thank you so much to my producer, Mark Winter, for all he does to make our shows sound amazing. And keep listening, because you never know what we'll have next on Best Bets for Pets.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.